Today we begin a new Chumash Vayikra. Now, it's a bittersweet experience, Rabbi Yisrael, to learn Chumash Vayikra, because last year, I don't think there was even one shul, at least in the New York, in the metropolitan area, where they didn't even lain one parsha. There wasn't a shul that was open the entire Chumash Vayikra. Okay, the shul shut down approximately Parshas Kisisa. I think most shuls were already closed, Parshas Kisisa, V'yachal B'kudei, and then the entire Chumash Vayikra, from beginning to end, there wasn't kemat one shul that was open. Anyone that was open, they were under a lot of fire, but every shul was shut. When did the shuls begin to open? Bamidbar. Nasai, most opened Nasai right before, last year was unique, where Nasai was before Shavuos. I think most shuls opened up for Parshas Nasai. That means the entire Chumash Vayikra, just about every single shul was closed. Let me just close the door here. There's a lot of noise outside.
Did your shul ever close?
What shul?
Shmidman.
Rabbi Sekula was open the whole time. He was, the sign said they closed, but he went in the back.
Is the senior center open now?
No, they're giving out Pesach packages.
Oh, that's why.
There were shuls officially closed, but they were open.
No, but very, very few.
Yeah, but
I don't recall. Was your shul open?
What? Who's your shul? Who's your shul?
Yours.
I don't have a shul.
Where
Said no. They were closed. They were shut.
They were?
Yeah, they were shut down. They were shut like everyone else. They were closed. Okay. We were closed from. I know because I laning. I remember laning. We were closed from Kisisa through Bamidbar. They opened up a Parashas Nosai.
Right. Okay,
the place was completely shut down. Once they opened. They opened with all the rules, the mast, and the plexiglass by the bima, and a tent. We had a tent, this gorgeous tent, for the whole summer. Okay, so that was really cool. The tent was really very chashav. That was nice. But it got very hot. And the summer was magnificent. But the summertime, the tent was very hard and whatever. No, they were closed. They were definitely closed. No question about it. The sheriff would come down every day there. The sheriff loves our Yitzchak.
That's right.
They love our Yitzchak. They come every day to inspect our Yitzchak. Yep. Okay, but in any event, let's learn over here. It's a bittersweet experience because last year the whole Chumash, and here, you know, and here we are, Baruch Hashem, this Shabbos, the vast majority of the shuls, at least in New York, Baruch Hashem, are open, and you know, you can't take anything for granted. You cannot take anything for granted, and after give shevach v'hidah, I thought what he did this week in the Flatbush Jewish Journal, even though I almost never have not read in a long time, I thought it was very moving that he had a zikaron for many people who passed away this year. It was a very, very beautiful tribute in the Flatbush Jewish Journal, marking the anniversary of the patira of so many holy, great people. This month, Chodesh Nisan, is a horrific, horrific month for Klal Yisrael. And there's still many, many people who are very sick. I know someone who is very choshev Talmid Chacham from Chaim Berlin. He's in a coma. He's in a coma already for almost a whole year. He got sick early, and it's a horrible, horrible situation. And he's not the only one. There are many people who are no longer with us, many people who suffered. And there are many people who still did not recover fully. They're still suffering. And not even to forget about their families, the collateral damage, and the economy, and the horrors, and the impact it has on young people who have been mamish terrorized, and full of fear from what has... The impact is cosmic. And we're now coming to the time, we're coming to Vayikra. We're repeating...
The first name is Venice.
We're repeating now the cycle, and this entire Chumash was absent last year. It's not just one parasha, the entire Chumash of Vayikra, the middle Chumash is gone. And you cannot take anything for granted. The fact that we're here, we're survivors. It's something that we have to give shavach v'idah to Hashem and to reflect and to be maskir the people who are no longer here and learn from this experience in so many ways. There's an infinite amount to learn from in so many different ways. And any Orthodox Jew has to make a cheshbon hanefesh of what where we are a year later as we come to the beginning of this new Chumash. Rashi himself writes over here that the empty space between each parsha, and especially is referring to the empty space between the end of Chumash Vayikra and the end of Chumash Shemois and the beginning of Vayikra, is to give revach lehisboinein bein inyan leinyan. Person has to reflect. There's such a principle. This week's parasha, Rashi opens up with the principle that a person has an obligation just to sit back and reflect. Revach lehisboinein bein inyan leinyan bein parasha leparasha. And certainly after 1 year, it's our duty and obligation to look back and reflect upon what has happened. Okay, let's begin with an idea, a short idea. I want to tell you a short idea, and it relates to the topic of teaching children Chumash Vayikra. Now, there used to be a minhag in Klal Yisrael. It's done today to a small degree in some circles. There used to be a time-honored custom that children, small little children, when they are taught, when parents and teachers begin to teach them Chumash, Mayor, what do you want to do? You want to recharge your phone?
Yeah.
I have over here a whole bunch of gadgets here for charging. When you want to teach children Chumash, you start with Vayikra. Now, I don't know about you. When I was a child, I don't remember this. When I was a child, I remember vaguely in first grade, we learned Bereshis Bara Elohim Es HaShemayim V'Es Haaretz. I don't recall ever learning Vayikra. But in Chazal, there is a Medrash that says, when you begin to teach children Torah, you teach them Chumash Vayikra. You start with Vayikra. Why? Why in the world would you start with Vayikra? So Chazal say, Yavoi, the Chazal's words are, Yavoi Tehoirim V'yasoik B'taharis. Let children who are pure, who have not been Toyim Tam Chit, let them come and engage in a section of the Torah that deals with purity. Korbanos. Chumash Vayikra is all about korbanos, matters of tahara. So it's proper. Yavoi tohoirim, pure little children, they shall come, v'yasoik, and busy themselves b'taharos, with purity. So today, in some of the yeshivas, they have a ceremony when they begin a chumash party. I'm sure all of your grandparents know what this is. Okay, chumash party duty. You go out to the chumash party, and they probably do this. They probably give them chumash. They probably teach them. They read to them the first pasuk, Vayikra el Moshe. Hashem called to Moshe. Hashem showed love to Moshe. They teach them the first pasuk in order to fulfill a token fulfillment of this Maimer Chazal. And the next day, they start with Bereshis Bara Elokim, Es HaShemayim V'Es Haaretz. That's very common today in the ceremony of starting to teach children Chumash. They indeed fulfill this Maimer Chazal, period. Okay, very, very nice. Now,
My grandson, when they lived in Yerushalayim, Eir Atika, so he went to Beit Sefer Zilberstein.
The Zilberstein system, yes, yes.
So they started Chumash Vayikra.
With Vayikra. They actually learned.
The whole parasha.
Fascinating. Okay, that's what it says in Chazal.
So I tested him when he was a little kid. and he
knew his stuff. He knew his stuff inside out.
It's unbelievable. But Zilberstein, and they knew it by heart. They learned by heart the whole Chumash. First grade Chumash Bereshit,
right.
Second grade Chumash Shmuel, and then Chumash Vayikra, Vamidbar Dvarim. At the end of 5th grade, they know the entire
Chumash Torah.
Torah Baal Peh.
Baal Peh.
Baal Peh with the Tamim.
Wow.
I think I once gave a talk to this group on the Zilberstein method. And I know there was an article about it in one of the papers last week. I forgot what anniversary of it. But yeah.
Fantastic.
Great idea.
Okay, so this is what they do. This is what it says. I want to elaborate upon this. This Maamar Chazal has opened up other reasons, other ideas as to why. Chazal give you a reason for something. There's a popular understanding. They're only giving you one reason. There are many, many more reasons. The Ikar is children traditionally were taught Chumash VaYikra. That's how they started to teach them Chumash. That was their introduction to the study of Torah. Chumash VaYikra. So Chazal give us the main reason. The most basic reason is Yavai Toharim V'Yasek V'Taharis. But that's not the only reason. There are other reasons. So let me elaborate with you on some other ideas that relate to why children are taught Chumash VaYikra. There's a very famous Vort, I think from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. The Yesh Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, why when they teach children Gemara, Talmud, is a tradition to start with the perek Elu Mitzio Shaloi Ve'elu Chayev L'Hachras. Why, when you start to teach children Gemara, do you teach them about finding lost objects? If you find this, you have to go and announce it. And if you find this, you don't, you can keep it. And we go through the entire discussion of if Simonim. Why? Aren't there other Mesechtos that are a little bit easier, more relevant? Maybe we should teach them something about Mesechta Brachos, something very easy, Mesechta Shabbos. Why is it that in fifth grade, it is tradition, time-honored tradition, to start teaching children Perek Elu Mitzia Shalai? And if I'm not mistaken, there's Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky gave a very powerful answer, and he says, because this Perek teaches you about private property, and it teaches you about Gezel. The most important thing you have to teach a child is don't steal. There's something called private property, honesty. The most important lesson you can give over to a child is honesty. This is mine and this is not yours. To know your boundaries, to know your limits. Chazal said the world was destroyed. The Mabul came about. Why? Chomos. Even though it says ki hishkis kol basar darko, even though it says there was promiscuity and there were horrible things going on, the pasuk concludes ki malo haaretz chomos. There are a lot of problems out there in this world. A lot of crazy things are going on out there. But Hashem said, the end of the day, I'm going to destroy the world. You know why? Ki malo haaretz chomos mitnehem. Le'nechtemu gazardinam ela al hagezel. That is the bottom line. So the question, so therefore, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, that's the reason why it's the time-honored tradition to teach children elu mitzia shaloi ve'elu chayev l'hachris, to teach them about gezel. And don't tamper. Don't tamper with this custom. Don't start teaching them Masechta Brachos and Masechta Shabbos. They should know. They should dwell over and over again. It's not yours. It has a simon. Announce it. Drill this into their heads from their youth, from their earliest childhood. Drill into their heads. If it's not yours, don't touch it. By extension, I want to suggest to you, that's why you teach them Chumash VaYikra. How does the parasha begin? What's the first lesson? The very first lesson of Korbanos. VaYikra Moshe VaYidaber Hashem Elav Milmoy Leimar Daber El Bnei Yisrael V'Yamarta Aleihem. What's the very, very first lesson? Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem Korban LaHashem. Adam. Why does it say the word Adam? It should say the word Ish. Or it should say the word Ish or Isha. What's Adam? What's this bizarre word doing here? And Rashi tells you, you know why the Torah was Mishan and said the word Adam instead of what we would expect? We would expect it to say Ish or Isha, Ki Yakriv Korban Mikem Ki Yaakov became Karban LaHashem. That's what we would expect. Isha Yisha. Like it says elsewhere in this parasha 100 times. Isha Yisha. Why Adam? To teach you, just like Adam HaRishon, the whole world, everything belonged to him, and there was no Gezel, so too, I'll read you the Rashi, B'Karbanos Nedava Dibir Inyan, Adam, Lama Nemar, Ma Adam HaRishon Lo Hikriv Min HaGezel. Why? Shakol HaYashaloi, Afatem Lo Sakrivu Min HaGezel. So to make sure when you bring a carbon to Hashem, don't bring Hashem stolen goods. That's the first lesson. You only have one chance to make a first impression. The first impression you make upon a child when you take him to cheder and you wrap him in a talis and you give him some honey to lick on the letters and you make the ceremony that he'll never forget, you teach him Adam ki yakrev mimenu karbon laHashem. Don't take what doesn't belong to you. It's a critical lesson. And I know it's also very interesting that the end of the parasha, the whole last Ali is all about Gezel. That if a person, he takes an oath, an elaborate karban, a person, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Nefesh Kisechato Mola Malba Hashem, what does he do? What's this Avera? He swears falsely that he has not stolen. He has in his possession stolen goods. And the pasuk elaborates, the kichesh ba miso, you're in denial with regard to b'fi kadoin, either you had a deposit, you were guarding something, oy b'sumes yod, or you actually took hold of something, you were given money for business to invest, and you refused to give it back, oy v'gozel, outright theft, oy oshakes amiso, extortion, oy motza aveda, v'kichishpa, v'nishpal shoker. And you swear falsely, no, I didn't steal, it's mine. You're a ganof. This is not your money. And you go so far to swear falsely that it's your money? So we have this whole long elaboration. You better give it back. You better confess. You have to pay an additional fifth as a penalty. And you have to bring a korban. Your sin is so great. It's a sin bin Adam lachavera, Adam lamakaim, and between you and yourself as well. And then don't ever deny that you've done it. There's a whole elaboration. Gezel. The severity of Gezel. So look at this, Parshas Vayikra, it begins with Gezel, and it ends with Gezel. So, doesn't it make sense that this should be the first thing you teach a child? Parshas Vayikra. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says the reason why the first limud in Talmud is the parak of Eilu Metzias, is to teach children to drill into their head, don't steal, be honest. So when you take a little child, and you begin to teach him Chumash, the first lesson is Adam ki yakrev mimenu karbon laHashem. Gezel. The end of the parasha is Gezel. This is essential. This is the most important thing that you can impress upon a child, to respect someone else's space. It's not yours. There's many types of varieties of Gezel. We all know that. Intellectual theft, there's property theft, there is stealing someone's time, stealing someone's sleep. There is being nene from this world. Chazal, if a person is nene from this world without a bracha, you're a ganaf. A person eats food and does not make a bracha properly, you're a ganaf. It's not yours. It only first becomes yours after you make a bracha. The principles of Geneva, Gezela are so fundamental. It's not a coincidence. This is the introduction Chazal gave to children. This is how the initiation into Talmud Torah has to be with the laws of honesty. Okay, that's one idea. I want to give you another idea. This idea is very chaviv to me. I want to introduce this with a story that I once told you. I didn't even know that I told you the story. Someone recently reminded me that I told you the story. And I vaguely remember telling you the story, and it's very relevant to what I'm going to tell you now. Ma'isa Shehoya, Kachoy, Maishra Kachoy is a story where a Rebbe, he sits down with a student and he's, okay, we're going to learn a very difficult piece of Gemara. Very, very hard. We're going to work very hard to understand this section. And he sits with the Talmud and they spend a couple of hours and the Rebbe, he reads the Gemara and he explains slowly, carefully, precisely with charts, diagrams, different techniques. And the day is over and the Rebbe says to the child, do you understand? And the Rebbe knows the answer. I don't understand one word you said. I know that you put in a good day's work and you try your hardest to explain it to me on my level, but you know something? I'm clueless. So the Rebbe says, don't worry. We'll try again tomorrow. Comes the next day, the Rebbe sits down with the child and starts all over again and explains different technique, reviews, and puts his whole heart and soul to explain this very difficult piece of Gemara to the child. The day is over. You understand? Nope. I have no understanding what's going on. All right, we'll try again tomorrow. On the third day, the Rebbe sits down, Nochamol, he puts in his heart and soul to explain and explain again and again, analyze and work with the child. The day is over. The Rebbe says, okay, you know what? Tonight, we're going to make a party. We're going to make a party tonight. We've already spent 3 days working on this little piece of Gemara. We're going to make a big party. Going to a restaurant. Bring your parents. I'll take my wife. We're going to go to celebrate. Talmud. But Rebbe, I still don't understand what's going on. Why are you making a party? You spent with me 3 days, but I don't understand. So the Rebbe says, I'm not making a party for you. I'm making a party for me. Because now after 3 days, I first understand the Gemara. When you teach and you work, now, I understand. I've been explaining this piece of the Gemara to you for 3 days. You think I really understand it? I don't understand it either. I'm just saying over words. Now, after trying to explain it to you for 3 days, I understand it. I have tremendous joy. So we're going to make a party, and you're coming. Tomorrow, we'll start again. We'll start again with you tomorrow. We'll try again day four, but the party tonight is for me. Now, that story is very relevant to the very first Rashi in this parsha, and it's very relevant to understanding why we teach. Why do we teach children Chumash VaYikra? Why? Why should we teach Chumash VaYikra to little children? So I want to suggest you a chiddush. The reason why you're teaching Chumash VaYikra to children has nothing to do with the children. Children, doesn't matter what you teach them. You could teach them Chumash VaYikra, Bamidbar, Bereishis. Take out Tehillim. What difference does it make? Teach them whatever you want. You know why Chazal said you should teach children Chumash VaYikra? It's for the Rebbeim. The teachers need to know something very special about Chumash VaYikra. The limud is not for the children. The goal that Chazal, they said, Yovoi Tohar V'yasik B'Taharas. That's very nice. There's another reason. They want you, the Rebbe, in your first initiation with the student, you should see yourself teaching them Vayikra. Why? Let me read the first Rashi. The first Rashi. First Rashi on Vayikra says, let me turn back. Very first Rashi, L'chol dibrois, L'chol amirois, L'chol tzivuyim, kodma kriya. Frash, lashon chiba, love. Okay, that's also love. Maybe that's also, I wasn't planning on saying this, but that's also relevant. When you teach your children, make sure you love them. Rav Pam always used to say that if an elementary school Rebbe, if you do not love children, get out of here. Don't be a Rebbe. Do not be a Rebbe of children if you don't love children.
And if you're a big shot, that's why there's a what? Little and there's a little aleph. You shouldn't think yourself.
Exactly. Big. This is all for the Rebbe. The Rebbe. L'chol dibrois ul'chol amirois ul'chol tzivuyim kodma kriya. What's kriya? Lashon chiba. L'shoin shemalachi hasharis mishtam shimboi. Shenemar. V'koro zel zev yomar. You're a Rebbe. You have many roles as a Rebbe to the children. You have to do kriya. You have to do a tzivuy. There's an amira. There are different words, different connotations, different roles a Rebbe has. You have to, all the, and each word has a different connotation for a different function of the Rebbe. You have to teach them how to learn. You have to teach them how to have good midos. You have to teach them all different types of things, responsibility. Everything that you teach a child has to be with love. The reason why you're teaching them Vayikra is not because of the kids. It's for the Rebbe. The Rebbe's making the party. Oh, I now first understand the Gemara. The Rebbe should know what his role is. Chiba. V'koro ze el ze v'yomar, like the Malachi Hashares. Know your charge. Know what your role is.
That's why I said that's very good, because it fits in with the Avraham Gonel, who said he didn't write Vayikra until he learned Kol HaTorah Kula.
Yeah.
And he first, he wrote the Perush on Vayikra last.
Yeah.
He couldn't write it until he understood more.
Understood more
he
later.
He didn't understand Vayikra.
Avol nivyeh umos ha'olam nigla alein b'losh narai tumosh nemar v'yikor elokim el bilam. What is this? Public school. When a Rebbe is a Rebbe in the Yeshiva Katana, you're not a public school teacher. In the public school, it's all about the unions. It's about to Zoom or not to Zoom, to wear the mask. It's all about laws and regulations and this and that. There's no chiba. It's collect your check. Get a pension, take advantage of the system, milk them out for everything they got. That's all it's about. There's no chiba. It's all selfishness. The curriculum is absurd, some of the things they teach these children today. You wouldn't believe what's going on out there. That's not what it's about. If you're a Rebbe of Hashem's children, it's Loshon Chiba. And the chiba has to accompany the tzivui, the amira, the dibur, the koroz ze el zev yomar. This is holy work. You're malachi hasharis. Im doyme rabcha lemalach elokim tzivokois. If your rebbe is doyme to a malach, then learn from him. You have that responsibility to your talmidim to be a malach. This is for the rebbe, not for the children. Then go further. Vayikrel Moshe, and this I think really is Vayikrel Moshe. Kol Cholich Magil LaOznav V'Chol Yisrael Lo Yishoymin. Next lesson, when Hashem spoke to Moshe, only Moshe heard it. Individuality. Hashem just didn't give a shear the whole Klal Yisrael. Hashem spoke to Moshe. A Rebbe has to speak individually to each and every child. No, don't just walk into the classroom. You give a shear and you walk out. Every single one of your Talmidim you have to relate to on an individual basis, as a unique person. Just like when Hashem spoke to Moshe, Hashem spoke to Moshe individually, as a Yochid. And then the next lesson is, Yochla, I would think, Afla Hafsokos, this is very important, even for the Hafsokos, that during the times when there was a Hefsik, meaning when Hashem did not speak. And this, we're not going to go into all the details. Then he goes on to explain the critical point I really wanted to focus on. And then Rashi says something that is utterly shocking, which seems to be completely irrelevant for the parsha. Kal v'choymer lehedyot Haloimed mina hedyot. Rashi here is telling us, why is there a gap between the end of Chumash Shemois and the beginning of Chumash Vayik? Why are there four blank lines? We started with this today. To teach you, you need empty space. It's symbolic. Litein revach lehispoinein bin inyin leinyin. Patience. don't overwhelm your students. When the Ribbono Shel Olam, there was no one in the world, no one can possibly explain something as perfect as the Ribbono Shel Olam. And there was no man that was wiser in this world than Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu Kol HaTorah Kula, Hashem gave Moshe recess. He gave him a break. He gave him time to reflect. Revach lehisboinein bein inyan leinyan. And then Rashi goes on to say, if this is true, when the teacher is the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the student is Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ribbono Shel Olam with his infinite kedusha and infinite talent, even when he teaches the prized student of the world, Moshe Rabbeinu, even there, it's necessary for there to be blank space to teach us. There has to be revach lehisboinin ben inyan leinyan. Al achas kama v'kama ben b'neshul kal v'chomer. When you, an ordinary mortal, a hedyot, a human being who doesn't have ruach hakodesh like Moshe Rabbeinu, when you're teaching a piece of Gemara to a child, to another hedyot, to another simple person, how much more so? Don't overwhelm your students. Give them revach lehisboinein bein inyan leinyan. Be patient. If even the Ribbono Shel Olam, when he taught Moshe Rabbeinu, gave him a break, gave him time to reflect, to absorb, and did not overwhelm him, and was patient, and taught Moshe on his level, how much more so when you're dealing with ordinary people in this world, our first grade Rebbe, and some children in the classroom, the Rebbe, be patient. He's just a child. Go slow. Don't overwhelm him. Give him revach lisboinin ben inyan leinyan. Don't have unrealistic expectations. Don't lose your patience. Don't overreact. You, the Rebbe, behave yourself. Allah has kama v'kama. So I ask you, who is this Rashi for? For the student or for the Rebbe? You know why you start with Chumash Vayikra? It has nothing to do with the children. You can teach them Greek. You can teach them Divrei Hayomim. Teach them Sefer Zechariah. It doesn't make a difference what you teach them. The reason why Chazal selected the teachers to start teaching the children Chumash Vayikra is because there's a message in Chumash Vayikra for the Rebbe. The Rebbe has to learn how to teach. And this opening Rashi here teaches the Rebbe all is a PhD thesis on being a malamed, being the proper teacher. All the lessons. Vayikra chiba. For every type of interaction that you have with the children, whether it's kriya, whether it's amira, whether it's dibur, the key of success to connect is chiba. Remember the Chazal, im doimer rabcha l'malach elokim tzivakos. Then learn, you are that malach elokim tzivakos for these children. You better be up, you better be on top of your game to be a holy Rebbe. Don't forget that you're not a public school teacher. This is not a secular profession, to be a malamit of children. This is not the umay sa'olam. There it's vayikor, not vayikra. And then the most important, then the next lesson, just like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he spoke to Moshe. He customized to Moshe. He didn't just speak generally, it was laser focused to Moshe Rabbeinu. You as a Rebbe, you have to laser focus to each one of your Talmidim. Don't just say the shir and look into the sky, and whatever they get out of it, they get out of it. You have to be laser focused and custom tailor your teaching to each one of your children individually. And the most important thing is, be patient. Revach lehisboinin bin inyin leinyin. If Hashem needed to give Moshe revach lehisboinin, Allah has come v'kama you the Rebbe. Patience. Give your students time to absorb, to grow, to develop. They need that revach lehisboinin bin inyin leinyin. You start with Vayikra. has nothing to do with the Talmidim. Remember the story. Tonight we're making a party because now I understand. I understand the Gemara. The point here is a mussar to the Rebbe. Make sure you know what you're doing here. You have a holy task in front of you, and you have to be in the right frame of mind to succeed. Okay, let's go to another idea. In this week's parasha, we learn about the word hefshet, pshat. When you learn a piece of Gemara, you ask, what's the pshat? Tell me the simple pshat in the Gemara. Right? There's pilpul, and there's drush, homiletics, there's Kabbalah, soid, and there's pardes, pshat, remez, drush, soid, four different words. But very so often, most of us, we just want pshat. I'm not interested over here in pilpul and in drush. Teach me the simple meaning of the word. Tell me the pshat. Now I ask Rashi many times, says Leibasi Ella Lefarish. I'm only coming to say pshat. Lefarish is similar to the word the pshat, the simple in translation. What is the shoresh of the word pshat? Translate for me. How would you translate in English the mamaloshen pshat, the simple translation? Give me the English translation. You can't really translate it in one word. You have to have an expression in English to translate the word pshat, the pshat in the pasuk, the simple understanding of the. Is that what it means? The simple means simple. Is that what it means? So what does it mean, Raj? Loi basi el lefare. What's
So the plain meaning.
The plain. Is there something really called plain? Is that a nice thing to say about a pasuk? It's plain. It's ordinary. Pedestrian. Is that a nice thing?
There are plain explanations and there are more nuanced ones.
Nothing is plain in this world. Everything is complicated. So where does it come from? The word. So I once heard Rav Simcha Soloveitchik. He used to always say this. The shoresh, the root of the word pshat, is found in this week's parasha, v'hifshit es ho'ila. What's the word v'hifshit?
Strip it away.
Flay. To strip away the skin. Anatomy. Anatomy, what do? You have a carcass, you have a cadaver. What do? You remove the skin. Let's cut open the flesh. Let's remove the skin and let's see what's inside. V'hifshit means to take away the outer surface. Remove the exterior and let's see the goods. Let's see what you got hiding underneath. Pshat doesn't mean plain, ordinary. It means just the opposite. What's really going on here? What are you hiding? What are you hiding underneath? Let's take away the exterior and let's see what you got underneath. That sort of means pshat. The pshat in the pasuk is not to translate the words, because that's nonsense. If you take a pasuk 99% of the time, you take a pasuk and you just look at the pasuk at face value, it's almost apikursus. Because it's almost impossible to really just translate any pasuk literally word for word.
Strip away the outer layer. That's why he said by Yoshua Shal Malcha, he mentions that. That's where he makes the pshat, that the Yoshua didn't have the ability to really strip away all the layers.
Okay. Moshe did. It means, I'm not giving you a defined meaning, but one thing is for sure. Pshat means it's not what it appears. Even the pshat, you look at something, okay, it looks one way. Pshat means remove the outer layer and let's see what's really going on under the surface. Then we'll have an understanding. There's depth in pshat. Now, here's the drush I want to make for you. When it comes to a karbon, Pasuk says, what do you do with the karbon? You flay the entire animal except for the head. The head, there's no pshat. There is no flaying. What does it say over here in the Rashi? The hifshit eshoyla on pasuk vav. On perik al pasuk vav. The hifshit eshoyla. Ma tamalay mehoyla. The rabbit has kol hoylos lehefshit v'nituach. Fine. Oysol linsachecha. V'loy nissachecha. Not its piece, but let's go further. Let me now jump down to pasuk ches. Es hanissachim v'yesharosh. The head. Lefi she'ein horosh. Bichlal hefshet. The head, you don't flay. In other words, there's no pshat for the head. There's no way you can ever really discover. There's a drush now, a drush on pshat. How do you like that? For an oxymoron. A drush on pshat. The animal, the body of an animal, you can flay, you can have pshat. You can peel off the surface and see what's going on underneath and get an understanding. But when it comes to the head is so complex. There is so much going on in a person's head. Don't even bother. You'll get nowhere. Lefi she'ein horoish bichlal hefshet. There's no pshat in the head. Shekvar hutas b'shchita, you already cut it off. Lefichach hutrach limnoisoi, to count it la'atzma. When it comes to the parts of the animal, you remove the skin. So they're called pieces. But the head, you put on the mizbech with the skin, with the skin of the head. Hutrach limnoisoi li'atzmai. Now there's a lot of things you can say about this. Number one, first of all, let me just give you illustrate this with an example. Let me illustrate this. Pesach is coming, right? Pesach. The Balei Darshanim say the word Pesach has three of the four letters of Pardes. We know Torah is divided into four categories. Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sod. Okay, whatever those words mean. Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sod. When you come the night of Pesach to the Pesach Seder, it's called Seder. Seder is Sod, Samach, Dalet is Drush, and Reish is Remez. Which letter is missing from the Seder? The Pei is missing. Because nothing at the Seder is Pashut. Nothing is simple. This is a popular Drush. The Seder is all about complexities, complications. The Pesach Seder is Samach, the Soid. Your children in third grade are going to tell you all these way out things, right? What are they teaching you there in yeshiva already? Samach, Dalet is Drush, they'll tell you these nice drushes. Remez, they're going to tell you these gematrias. What are they teaching you there in yeshiva? I pay you this tuition. And they teach you these strange, can't you just tell me something normal already? Tell me from your big notebook you have in front of you. Tell me a pshat, something normal. There's no pshat. Seder, soid, drush, remes. Where's the pshat? The seder, there's no pshat. You know why there's no pshat? Because the seder is the beginning of Klal Yisrael. It's the rosh. HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. Rashi, the Rosh, there's no Hefshet on the Rosh. The Rosh, the head, the Rosh, the beginning of the year, the first holiday, which captures, there's no Pshat. Don't flay, don't do Hefshet on the Rosh. Because the depth is so great. In a person's head, there's no way you can ever uncover and grasp what's really going on. The body, all right, You want to understand the body, why he walks here, why he uses his hand to do this mitzvah, why he uses his foot, why he stands, why he sits. You want to figure out what's going on with the heart and with the other organs, the kidneys and the liver, the gallbladder. All right. Pshat. Just take off the outside, open the hood, we'll check you out. We'll see what's doing under the hood. But the brain, to understand what's going on in the head, don't even bother. There is no hefshet for the Rosh. Don't even bother. You'll never be able to really understand what's taking place. The only thing is, you want a remez, you want a drush, you want some homiletics. Ein moshiv in al hadrush. It's not a real science. Pshat is a real science. Drush, remez, and soid is not a real science. That, you know, so you want to, that you can play around with in the person's head, but you're not going to really know what's going on. You'll never really fully understand a person. Now, I want to even expand upon this from the Asura Haruge Malchus. The daughter of the Hegmon saw the beauty of Rabbi Yossi. The incredible, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. And she said, Dad, preserve it. No. At least preserve the skin. Hefshet. She demanded from her father to do hefshet on the Rosh. To take off his skin. To remove the skin of the head of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. What? Read the pasuk here. Es hanisachim es harosh. A carbon, what is a carbon? A carbon is just, a person should be a carbon. When you bring a carbon, what in essence are you saying? Ribbono shel olam, I've done a terrible aveira. I should be put on the mizbeach. I should be the one that's being burnt on the mizbeach. Hashem doesn't want human sacrifices. So we bring an animal. Thank you very, very much for the coffee. Thank you very much. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bidvarai. Hashem does not want human sacrifices. So we bring an animal. Whatever you do to the animal really should be done to us. And there are Yehi Ratzon. You read the Chazal. When they go and they do this. Yehi Ratzon, that this should be in my place. Yehi Ratzon, this is in my place. Whatever. So when it comes to the carbon, do you flay the head of the carbon? No, you don't. The Rosh? She'ein ha-roish b'chlal hefshet. You don't do that to the Rosh. When Rabbi, the Asara Haruge Malchus were murdered brutally, they were korbanos. You're not allowed to do this. But Hashem did it. We didn't do this. Hashem did this. Hashem brought this about. They were korbanos. You don't flay the head of a korban. The daughter of the Hegmon said, do it. The daughter of the Hegmon said, I want to understand what's going on under the hood of Klal Yisrael. I want to have pshat in a Jew. I want to understand the pshat. What makes a Jew tick? What makes a Jew tick? How does all of this work? And they began to try to understand. Mendela. Yemach Shemo v'Zichro, he studied Judaism. He knew every minug in Klal Yisrael, just like Haman HaRasha in Targum Sheni, the Targum, a special Targum. Haman, he presents Mifuzor u'Mifarad Beinu Amim. He presents the Minhage Yisrael better than any of us can ever imagine. We learn from Haman what our own Minhagim are. We study the Targum Sheni, the words of Haman, describing in very great detail the Minhage Yisrael, to know what we're supposed to do. Could you imagine that? I want to understand what makes these people tick. I want to do Hefshet on the Rosh. I want to open up the hood. I want to see what's going on there. The daughter of the Hegmon said, Rabbi Yishmael, he's the Kohen Gadol, the holiest Jew in Klal Yisrael. Let's take off the skin on the head. Let's learn about Judaism, take a course in Judaism, and let's understand what makes these people tick. You don't do that. That's impossible. There's no way anyone can understand what makes a Jew tick, because the pasuk says, "Lufi she'ein horosh bichlal hefshet." There's no pshat. There's no way of understanding what goes on underneath the head of a Jew. And what happened? They began to do it. They tried. Kevan shehigia lemekoyim tefillin. When it came to the tefillin, the mokoyim ha-tefillin, that's the part of the head where the hood, the engine is. That's where the engine. The mokoyim of the tefillin, where you put the tefillin that say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He gave out a shout. The whole world shook. The whole world shook. This is the core of the. You have no shaykhis to understand. You're tampering with the foundation of the world by trying to understand the pshat in a Jew. What makes a Jew tick? The world shook. In other words, you will, like people say, hair will grow on the palm of my hand before A, B, C, and D, right? Before you will be able to understand what makes a Jew tick, the world will come to an end. It's impossible. The Rosh, l'fi she'ein ha-Rosh b'chlal hefshet. And that's hidden to a degree in the Seder. The Seder has no pshat. There is a divine element that is beyond humanity, that cannot be understood, that cannot be kiloi machshevoisai machshevoisechem v'lo darkechem derochai. The element, the kernel of spirituality of Klal Yisrael is beyond understanding. It's beyond reason, understanding. It's beyond science. It's eternal. It's divine. Don't go there. There's no pshat in the Rosh. There's no pay in the Seder. Don't try to peel off the skin of the Kohen Gadol. Because when you come to the Mokam of the Tefillin, the world will collapse. The world will cease to exist before you will be able to understand the spirituality of Klal Yisrael. It's a unique relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu that is beyond understanding, beyond reason. Like the pasuk says, "Ki loy machshavoysa machshavoysecha." Okay, let's go to another idea, another short idea.
It's not Seder; it's Seder Pesach.
Seder Pesach.
Pesach.
Pesach. The pay is the pshat. So you want to say that the pay. Okay, we have to recalibrate the vart based upon what you're saying. But based the pshat, Seder is Seder. Okay, let's go now to another.
When he says, why we keep doing it, it's hakeyeshina, because you can't, it's too difficult to explain. You have to do it again and again to
comprehend. Okay, let's go to another vart, running out of time. This vart was very chav of this vart. It says in this parasha about the bird. Koyin, he brings the bird, bring the carbon oil on, and the Torah goes to says that before you put the bird on the mizbeach, the different karbanos, you can bring a carbon from a bokar, from tzoin, and from birds. Before you put a bird on the mizbeach, you have to clean. There are certain parts of the bird that the Torah says under no condition can come on the mizbeach. Animal, a carbon oil, you burn the whole thing. Not the skin, but you burn the whole... A bird? No. I don't want you to burn on the mizbeach the intestines. Make sure you go into the bird and you rip out the intestines of the bird that cannot go on the mizbeach. Why? The Gemara has a very elaborate description how exactly you rip it out. Okay, you bring the bird to the mizbeach, and what do? It says... It says, "Vehisir es mur osoy benoitzoso." You remove violently the mur osoy means the intestines. the intestines of the bird together with the feathers on the outside. And what do? A violent act. The hishlich oisof, throw it. You have to be trained. You have to be an Olympic. Go try for the Olympics to do this. To throw it a very far distance. Eitzel ha-mizbeach kedma el mikoyim hadoshen. There's a little area there, right near the mizbeach, where every single day they would deposit a small amount of truma sadeshen and a small amount, and what else Rashi says? And they cleaned the menorah. Every single day they did hatova saneros. They come into the azara and they go to the menorah and they clean the ashes of the menorah. And Rashi, and what else did they do? The Mizbeach HaZov. The Mizbeach HaZov, every single day, they brought ketores. They cleaned away the leftover of the ketores from yesterday. And they put it in this little teeny area in front of the Mizbeach. They put it there. And Rashi says here, miraculously, it just sunk into the ground. So that over here, the pasuk says that when you bring a bird on the Mizbeach, before you put the bird on the fire, dig into the bird, pluck out the intestines with the feathers, and throw it with precision. I don't know how they did this. That's such precision. It's a very far distance. And it should land right on that spot where every single day you would put the leftovers of the menorah and the leftovers of the ketores. It should land together on that spot and it'll sink into the ground. Now Rashi says, why? Why would you want to do that? Why is the Torah denying the mizbeach from the intestines? When it comes to a large animal, you put the intestines on it, you clean it, you rinse it, you hose it down, and you put it on the mizbeach. So Rashi says something incredibly fascinating, because an animal you own, an animal only eats food that you give it. It's kosher food. It has a hechsher from the badatz. They give it kosher food. But a bird, it does need kosher food. What do you mean? It eats gezel. It's the worst type of typhus. Birds, they fly wherever they want and they steal. And the bird, what goes into those intestines? Gezel. The intestines are used to consume gezel. The Torah does not want gezel, an object that was used for gezel to go on its mizbeach. You have to remove it. Rashi says, why? I'll read the words. Why do you do this? Because be'oilas behema. Victor, be'oif shenizim in hagezel. Gezel. Nemar v'hishlich esameayin. Sha'acholim in hagezel. Hashem, I don't want you putting on my mizbeach those intestines. Because birds, they fly wherever they want. There's no jurisdiction. And they steal. And their intestines eat gezel. Those intestines are not going on my mizbeach. Get rid of it. Throw it to the Beis Hadeshen. Where do you throw it? Eitzel ha-mizbeach kedma b'mizrocha shel kevesh el mekoyim hadoshen mokoyim shenoisin shom tumas hadeshen b'chol boiker. And what else? V'dishoy mizbeach ha-pnimi. That's where you put the ashes of the ketores. V'hamenoira v'kulam nivloim shom b'mekoyimam. Hey, my question, almost finished. Okay, my question to you is, wow, this stuff is stolen goods. But when you go and you put this stuff, what? It's not fair. It's not fair for this object, which is gezel, to mingle with the ashes of the menorah and the ashes of the ketores. What did they do wrong? What did the ashes of the ketores and the ashes of the menorah, what sin did they commit that they have to be associated with the intestines of the bird? It's a criminal. What a charpa. You're going over here, you go to shul, and they have to assign seating for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. They're going to put you next to a criminal. This guy was in jail for 30 years, is a serial murderer, and somehow he got out on a technicality. So you're going to sit down now, they're putting you next to him in shul, you're going to sit next to him in shul. I don't want to come to the shul anymore. I don't want to go sit next to a criminal, to a menuvel. It's an insult to the deshen of the menorah, to the deshen of the ketores, to be associated with the murosay of the bird that is an object of gezel, zelofir. So you know what the answer is? Think about it. They're not tzaddikim either, these two. What do I mean? What happened in Ma'aseh Bereishis? Ma'aseh Bereishis, Hashem created Shnei HaMa'oros HaGedolim. There were two Ma'oros HaGedolim. There was the Shemesh and the Yoreach. Whatever that means, it means Darshan from today until tomorrow with that. But it does say in the Pasuk, the Shnei HaMa'oros HaGedolim. The sun wasn't the only game in town. The sun had a partner. And what happened? The moon complained. Aha! Ain't Shnei Malachim Meshamshim Bekeser Echad. Okay, Hashem says, okay, you go L'chi U'ma'atiyas Atzmech. Diminish yourself. Who came out looking good here? The sun. The Shemesh. The sun has all the glory, but you know, it's Gezel. It's not Gezel. I'm exaggerating a little bit. But when the sun shines today, you know, this wasn't meant for you. You had a partner. Eshnei HaMe'oros HaGedoylim. What are you taking the limelight for yourself? The moon slipped up. So no, the moon was dismissed. So now you're your lucky day. You get the limelight for yourself. You know, it's a shtickel geza. The aura of the Shemesh. You know, it's not all yours. Don't take all the credit for it. It's not the way it was meant to be. The menorah represents the or. The or hagonos. There's a lot of a connection between the or of the Shemesh and the or of the menorah. Let's assume that as a fact. You know, you're taking a little bit too much of the limelight for yourself. There's a shtickel gezel here. What about the ketores? Now, this is not a perfect vart, but what is the ketores all about? Reach nichoyach. Reach nichoyach. When is the first time in the Torah we find reach nichoyach? The first time. The Mabul. Hashem destroyed the world. Goodbye, good riddance. It's over. A few survivors. Noach, the Ishto, his children, they come out of the table. What does Noach do? He brings a korban. Vayorach Hashem es reach hanichoyach. And Hashem says, I'll never do this again. I'll never destroy the world. Hashem reflects upon what happened. What happened? Do you remember what happened? Kimala ha'aretz chomos nitnehem. Loi nigzar gzardinoi el al a gezel. Gezel. And now, Noach, he brings a carbon. There should never be such a thing like this again. The reach hanichoyach of the ketores and the trumas hadeshen also, because every carbon has an element of reach hanichoyach. It reminds us of the first reach hanichoyach of this world. And that first reach hanichoyach of this world reminds us of what? Kimala ha'aretz chomos mipneihem. So in other words, you know, in certain shuls now, they have the corona section with glass. In some shuls they have the felon section. The felon section. They don't have glass, they have iron bars. You come into the shul, you have the mizrach, and then you have the plexiglass section, and then there's
the rabbis.
Bars, iron bars. That's where we put the felons. The felons. And who's in there? The psoiles of the menorah, the psoiles of the ketores, the psoiles of the mizbeach, and the intestines of the bird, because all of you are ganovim. All of you are locked up. You're all ganovim. You all share something in common.
You know, that's why it doesn't say tzaddik alone, the four sons of...
There is no tzaddik. No one has clean hands.
The tzaddik is in the Russia.
What?
The tzaddik is in the Russia.
So you know some... What? The tzaddik is in the Russia?
In the Russia. Just what you said now. The tzaddik and the Russia together.
So if they're not tzaddikal. They're not tzaddikals. When the Torah says, we have over here the murasai, the intestines of the bird, Rashi elaborates with such strong words. It's a violent. Rip it out and throw it violently. Because this does not go on the Mizbeach. No way. This thing, which was Nene from Gezel, no way. Where do you put it? You put it in prison with the other Ganavim. Who are the other Ganavim? The Psoilas of the Menorah, the Psoilas of the Ketores, and the psoilus, a shtickl psoilus of the Mizbech. Why? Because the menorah, it's not your limelight. What happened to the moon? The shreem oris hagedoylim. When it comes to the reich hanichayach of the ketores, and even the reich hanichayach of the drips adeshan, this reich hanichayach, you know, it reminds us of the erst reich hanichayach, which was kimolo ha'aretz chomos. So all of you belong together. You're not going on the Mizbech. That's a powerful lesson.
Yeah.
Lesson. Hashem doesn't need this. He doesn't need an ethical conduct. Hashem is looking for bracha. To conclude, there's a minig by Chassidim at the very end of the parasha. You don't want to be mesayim bedovara. It's not a good thing to end off with a bad thing. The end of the parasha ends off with a very bad thing, with gezel. La'oshmava. So there's a minig. La'oshmava is Rosh Teva says of every year. La'oshmava is Lokel Asher Shavas Mikol Hamaasim Bayoim Hashvi. In the Kel Odoin, when you say Kel Odoin, Lokel Asher Shavas, right before you say Kel Odoin, Lokel Asher Shavas, and Shabbos Shachris, Lokel Asher Shavas, you have those words. Lokel Asher Shavas Mikol Hamaasim Bayoim Hashvi. La'oshmava are the Rosh Tevas. So by Chassidim, I don't know, I've never davened in the shul, they do this, but supposedly when they finish Parash Vayikra, and the Shad says, and he says, La'oshmava, it's bad to be guilty. Yasa Yimisayim, the Parash on the Dovara, they break out in Nigun. They break out singing in a melody, the words, Lokel Asher Shavas, Mikol HaMasim Bayim Hashvi. What's the connection? What's the connection? Because Shabbos reminds us that it's Hashem's world. We're the biggest ganavim of them all. Because we go through a whole week. We go through a whole, what do? Koichi v'yoytsem yodi osli yasachayel azeh. Koichi, right? Chazal says, if you nene from this world without a bracha, you're a ganav. It's Hashem's world. Know where your bracha comes from. We're the biggest ganavim. We nene from this world. Hashem gives us everything. Do we really attribute the blessing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We're the ganavim. We're the ones who deny. The whole Ali is talking to us. We're the people that deny. We're kichesh ba'amisoi. We deny this. We deny that. We think everything comes from us. We're the smart alex. The end is la'oshmova Shabbos. Shabbos zecher lemasei bereshis. Who created this world? Hashem, Hashem's world. He created this world. Everything we have is Hashem. We're moide al ha'emes. We're moide al ha'emes. It's His world. Lokel Asher Shavas Mikol Ma'asim Yom Hashvi. He made the world. He came to rest. All the brachas to His. We should be zoiche that we start Vayikra. It should be b'chiba. You know, in Latin, how do you say Vayikra? Leviticus. Leviticus. Right? That's the way for generations. Leviticus. What does Leviticus mean in Latin? Levi. Levi. What is Levi? Who used the word Levi? Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mila Hashem Eli. Mila Hashem Eli. Vayi Osvo Elov called B'nei Levi. The B'nai Levi are the people who know what it means. Mila Hashem Elai. We're coming now to a very important section in the Torah. To be from Leviticus. To be from the people who are the people of Leviticus. How do you say it in the singular? It's not really Leviticus. It's not really Leviticus. We've abused that word also. It's Leviticus. It's really not Leviticus. Leviticus, I think. It's Leviticus. We say Leviticus.
Well, in Greek,
it's supposed to be Leviticus. And somehow today we call it Leviticus. We add a letter to the end, Leviticus, plural, Leviticus. But we're coming now to the time of Levi. Leviticus is Levi. Mila Hashem Elai. It's a time to reflect. Revach L'Spoinen last year. This is a very ominous moment last year. Very, very heavy moment. It's a year, and Mila Hashem Elai. It's time to be misboinin be'inyin le'inyin, to be makir, lokel, asher shavas, mikol ha'masim be'mashvi, to take the opportunity to come close to Hashem, and should be for us times of barocha, hatzlocha, good health, success. B'malei Hashem kol mish'ales libichem l'toiva, amen ken yiratzen. Have a good Shabbos, Rabbi Yisai. Be well. Be well, everyone.
Good Shabbos, everyone.
Thank you for coming.
Pennsylvania, to Montreal.
We are over here. Mayor,
to Canada. Everyone have a good Shabbos. And don't stay home, because otherwise you're going to have to clean for Pesach. Come to the Shir.
What?
Question.
Yes, why should I do that? You see Mayor anyway.
We're relieved from him on Zoom, and you go football.
What's Mark's problem, huh?
I looked up Soloveitchik Heritage.
Yes.
$170 for the book. Use.
Okay, man. Use, come on. I'll lend it to you for free.
Okay. $170 use.
Doesn't make sense.
Look it up on Amazon.
You can't get it online for free somewhere? I mean, Kindle, an electronic version of it. It's a great book. It's a great book. I'm telling you.
I looked it up right away.
It's a great book. My uncle told me he wouldn't read it.
I don't think.
Sell
you a copy. I know why. He doesn't have a copy. The family is very upset. Because rightfully so. If it was me, I would blow steam out of my ears from what they wrote there. There are a few things, not a lot. It's no one's business. It's just a matter of maybe a whole one page. You can collect a few sentences here and there, and then it would be perfect. Why was it necessary to write those few lines? I don't know. No, she wrote the book. It's an old book. It's like 20 years already. She wrote the book. When she wrote it, she's a different. The one who wrote the book is a very different personality. She wrote it as no. I'm not. She didn't write lahachis. This is just like poshut. This is dvarim shutim. The yeshiva world. They have certain sensitivities. The one who wrote the book is not part of the yeshiva world. She's so to her, it's like poshut. It's like not a big deal. It's really not such a big deal. But I guess if it's nogea you, it's your family you insulted. I understand. I fully get it. It's no one's business.
Just wanted to tell you, you're a rich man.
Okay,
Mark, stop being a pain. Mark, stop being a pain.
Good Shabbos.
I know it's you.
I spoke to your daughter yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I gave her regards. I told her some very nice things about you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
So
whatever, we'll take
it. She has some ideas.
I spoke to her, whatever.
We
had a conversation.
She's a go-getter. I want to tell you, this is my daughter, Kirsten.
That's the question.
This is your?
My daughter, Kirsten.
Kirsten. Josh, married to Dr. Josh Kirsten.
Yeah. She is such a busy gal. Kanahara.
What's it? He's a neurologist?
No, cardiologist, right?
Cardiologist.
And that's a question.
Good. All right. Okay. Let's see what's going to happen.
Okay.
Zeitgesund, everybody. Good Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Thank you for coming, Moyevsky. Thank you very much. Thank you.
A lot of thought.
So, you know why there's no tzaddik in the four banim?
Talk to the other one. Here, talk to the other one.
The reason there's no tzaddik in the four sons, one is a tzaddik doesn't ask questions. All the sons are supposed to be asking questions. The tzaddik doesn't ask questions. He doesn't belong there.
Well, that's why it's the mitzvah is gotta tell Avincha. If you just don't ask questions, you don't know what to say. Right.
Second one is that just what we learned today, a tzaddik in a Russia is sitkis. There's a tzaddik in the Russia.
There's a tzaddik in the Russia.
So you're talking about.
What I like to say always, Rabbi Halpert makes a point in a sefer, is the difference between the Russia and the tzaddik is it's the pasuk in the Torah. What is the significance of Mo'avodah Zos Lachem? It's when the pasuk in the Torah begins, V'hayoki Yomru Aleichem B'neichem. They're not asking.
He says,
Ki Yisholcha Bincha is good. Yeah. But if they tell you, well, you don't know what you're talking about, I'll tell you, there you got a problem.
Oh, that's it, because the tzaddik has all the chumras, he doesn't even come to your Seder.
I'll tell you, instead of asking, right. He's telling you. When they tell you what to do, then you got a problem.
Right, so the
tzaddik says, that's what he's saying. What are you doing?
You don't know what you're doing, you know.
No, because he makes a point of saying, what does it mean, Mo'avodah Zos Lachem? I believe in God the same as you, but Mo'avodah Zos Lachem, I have to put on tefillin every day. I don't believe in
you
God.
You know, Rabbi Rekefet was talking stories, a couple of stories, where Talmidim were invited to the Rebbe's for the Pesach Seder. And they started with Chumras, and the Rebbe laughed them out. He said, where do you get this Chumras? You know, you invited to someone's house.
Don't bring your chumras to my house.
You know, do it in a quiet way where I don't notice
it. Don't bring your chumras to my house.
You're gonna make me look bad?